This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with Connected Age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 88. Today's episode is the second and concluding part of a sermon by the 17th century British minister Thomas Watson entitled, The Happiness of Drawing Near to God. I mentioned in the last episode that in the course of producing this podcast, I've spoken about the practice of classical biblical meditation. Simply, a passage from Scripture is read and then reflected on to gain deeper insight into the passage and how it can be applied to one's life. A real-life example of this happened for me recently while reading through 2 Samuel chapter 7. In that chapter, we find that King David expressed his desire to build a permanent house for the Ark of the Covenant, that is, for the throne of God. The prophet Nathan eventually goes on to tell David that he is not the one to build the house for God, but that God would build the house for David, in the sense of a dynasty. Verse 18 particularly held my attention. The verse says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. The tent which David had prepared for the Lord was near David's palace." I reflected on how David sought to draw near to God, not just spiritually, but physically as well. I remembered that there is a passage in Scripture which has the sense of it is good to be near God. In searching for the passage, which is Psalm 73, verse 28, I discovered that the 17th century English minister Thomas Watson preached on this very verse. The sermon was helpful to me, and I thought I should share it with the podcast audience. This episode is part two of that sermon. The text reads as follows, "It is good for me to draw near to God," Psalm 73, verse 28. It reproves them who, instead of drawing near to God, draw near to the world. The world engrosses all their time and thoughts, Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, who mind earthly things. A good Christian uses the world for his necessity, but his main work is to draw near to God. Whoever he deals with and pays short, he will be sure God shall not be a loser. He gives God a daily sacrifice. He follows God fully, Numbers chapter 14, verse 14. But the covetous people make the world their treasure. And what is their treasure that does most command their hearts? Worldlings live by sense, and to talk to them of drawing near to God is to speak riddles and paradoxes to them. They can no more live above the earth than fish can live out of the water. They have the serpent's curse upon them to lick the dust. Things of worldly aspect draw away from the heart of God. They hinder our passage to the Holy Land. Had not the fall beat off men's headpiece of wisdom, they would think thus within themselves, if there be any beauty in the world, what is there in God who made it? He gives the flower its color and odor. He gives the diamond its luster. He gives food its taste. And if there be such sweetness in creatures, what is there in God? He's infinitely better than all. Shall these poor things draw our hearts away from God? Shall the drop draw us from the fountain? Shall the light of the candle draw us from the sun? Shall we admire the gift and forget the giver? Solomon speaks of a generation of men. Madness is in their heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Sure, they who draw near the world and leave God, madness is in their heart. Oh, how empty and insignificant are all other things without God. They are in their matter earthly, in their procuring painful, in their fruition surfeiting, in their duration dying, in their operation damning. It reproves them who draw near to God, but it is hypocritically. They draw near with their lips, but not with their hearts. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. The Jews, say one, use great shows of adoration, and in their synagogues burn lamps to the honor of God, but no inward devotion can be perceived. What is pomp without piety? Sinners give God the worship of their bodies, but keep their hearts for something else they love better. The heart is a virgin that God himself is suitor to. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart. To draw near to God with the body, but not the heart, is to abuse God. It is as if one should come into an apothecary shop and ask for medicine, and he should give him an empty glass. To draw near to God without a heart is to play a devotion and to go to hell covered with religion's mantle. It reproves them who, instead of drawing near to God, draw back from God. These are renegades. They once seemed to put forth fair blossoms and gave good hope of their conversion, but their spring is changed to autumn. Either fear of persecution or hope of preferment has turned them away from the profession of religion. Hosea chapter 8, verse 3. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. At Augsburg, the papists gave 10 florins a year to such as revolt from the Protestant faith. Men draw back from God because they never had the Spirit of God to confirm them. Such as have the Spirit indwelling never take their final leave of God. The Spirit in the heart is called an earnest, not a pawn. A pawn may be called for again and taken away, but an earnest remains and is part of the sum left behind. Oh, how odious is it to draw back from God. The name Judas is held in abomination at this day. Sure, no Protestant would baptize his child Judas, and how dismal was his end. He who had no affections for an innocent Christ, his inward parts gushed out. If it be good to draw near to God, it must needs be evil to draw back from him. Psalm 37, verse 27. You have destroyed all those who go a-whoring from you. It exhorts us all to draw near to God. It is more ingenious to draw near to God voluntarily than to be drawn near to him by affliction. Where should the soul go but to God? Where can the bee rest but in its hive? To draw near to God is both a privilege as well as a duty. But there are two motives I shall use to persuade you to this drawing near to God. Number one, the first is in the text. To draw near to God is a good thing. It is good for me. That it is good appears in several ways. To draw near to God is our wisdom. The price of wisdom is as above rubies. Job chapter 28, verse 18. No jewel we wear does so much as adorn us as wisdom. And wherein is our wisdom seen more than in our nearness to God? It is judged wisdom to keep in with great men. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6. How many will entreat the favor of a prince? But a prince's love is mutable. How often does the sunshine of his royal favor set in a cloud? But it is wisdom to draw near to God. He is the sweetest friend and the worst enemy. To draw near to God is our honor. It is counted an honor to converse with noble personages. What high dignity is it that the great God will allow sinful dust to draw near to him? Surely the apostle did speak of it with an holy boasting. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. As if he had said, we do not walk with peasants of the world. We are of the blood royal of heaven. We live above other men. Our fellowship is with the Father, that the King of Kings will hold forth a golden scepter to us, invite and welcome us into his presence, and bid us draw near. This is no small favor. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. Everyone that was distressed and in debt drew near to David, and he became a captain over them. So that we who are distressed and in debt may draw near to God, and that he will not only be our captain, but our husband. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. What transcendent dignity is this? It is a wonder God does not kick us out of his presence, but that we should be admitted to see the king's face, and that he should send us dainties from his own table, is an honor more fit for angels than men. To draw near to God is our safety. God is a strong tower. Proverbs 18, verse 10. It is good in times of danger to draw near to a fort or castle. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. The horns coming out of God's hands are to punish his enemies, and the hiding of his power is to safeguard his people. God is an impregnable stronghold. Indeed, there is no safety but in drawing near to God. If the sheep wanders from the fold, it is in danger of the wolf. If we straggle and wander from God, we are in danger of Satan. To draw near to God is our peace. The only thing which breaks our peace is when we do not keep close to God. But what harmony, yes, heaven is in the soul when it draws near to God. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love your law. This peace, like pearl and broth, is cordial. David drew near to God, for he was ever with him. Psalm 139, verse 17. And this made his pillow soft when he went to sleep. Psalm 9, verse 8. I will lay me down in peace, as the honeydew falls upon the leaf. Oh, that sweet serenity which drops as honey upon the soul while it is drawing near to God. How comfortable it is to draw near to the Son, and how sweet is it to approach near to the Son of righteousness. To draw near to God is our riches. It is good drawing near to a gold mine. If we draw near to God, he will enrich us with promises and divine consolations. He will enrich us with the pearl of great price, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He will reward us as a king, yes, as a God. He will make over his land and jewels to us. He will give us the spring flowers of joy here and the harvest of glory hereafter. If we draw near to him in duty, he will draw near to us in mercy. When the prodigal approached to his father drew near to him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. If we draw near to God with repenting hearts, he will draw near to us with a compassionate heart. David prayed. Psalm 69, verse 18, draw near unto my soul. It is good to have God draw near to us. How sweet is his presence. He is light to the eye and joy to the heart. How happy it was for Zacchaeus when Christ drew near to him. This day is salvation come to your house. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. When God draws near to the soul, heaven and salvation draw near. Number 2, there is a time coming when we shall wish we had drawn near to God. We are shortly drawing near to our grave. Psalm 107, verse 18. They draw near unto the gates of death, the wicked who care not for God, yet at death they would desire to draw near to him. Then they cry as Matthew 8, verse 25, Lord, save or we perish. Then, mercy, mercy. They run to God in distress, as in a storm men run to a tree for shelter. But God will not shelter his enemies. The Lord gives the sinner abundance of mercy in his lifetime, as you have seen a loving father bribing a prodigal son with money to see if he can reclaim him. But if the sinner do not be wrought upon with mercy, then at death the Son of Mercy sets, and a dark night of wrath overtakes the sinner. They who would not draw near to God as a friend will experience that God will draw near to them as an enemy. How shall we do to draw near to God? Let us contemplate the excellencies of God. He is the God of glory. Psalm 29, verse 3, full of glorious beauty, in comparison of whom both angels and men are but as the small dust of the balance. He is the God of love. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, who triumphs in acts of mercy. Well may this encourage us in our approaches to him who delights to display the banner of free grace to sinners. If we should hear of a person of honor who was of a lovely disposition, obliging all that came to him by acts of kindness and civility, it would make us ambitiously desirous to ingratiate ourselves with him and to obtain his acquaintance. God is the most sovereign good, the wonder of love, ready to diffuse the silver streams of his bounty to indigent creatures. God is the most sovereign good, the wonder of love, ready to diffuse the silver streams of his bounty to indigent creatures. This, if anything, will make us willing to draw near to him and acquiesce in him as the center of felicity. If we would draw near to God, let us study our own needs. Let us consider in what need we stand for God and that we cannot be happy without him. The prodigal never drew near to his father until he began to be in need. Luke chapter 15. A proud sinner who was never convinced of his need minds not to come near to God. He has a stock of his own to live upon. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 31. We are lords, and we will come no more unto you. A full stomach despises a honeycomb. It is the sense of need which brings us near to God. Why did so many lame and paralytics resort to Christ, but because they needed a cure? Why does the thirsty man draw near to a fountain, but because he needs water? Why does a condemned man draw near his prince, but because he needs a pardon? When a poor soul reviews its needs, I need grace, I need the favor of God, I am damned without Christ. This makes him draw near to God, and be an earnest supplicant for mercy. If we would draw near to God, let us be careful to clear our interest in God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. When we know him to be our God, then we draw near to him, the spouse, by virtue of the conjugal union, draws near to her husband. Psalm 48, verse 18. This God is our God. Let us beg the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has magnetic virtue. Corruption draws the heart from God. The Spirit draws it to him. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me, we will run after you. The Spirit, by his omnipotent grace, draws the heart to God, not only sweetly, but powerfully. Let us get our hearts fired with love to God. Whichever way love goes, that way the heart is drawn. If God is the treasure delighted in, our hearts will be drawn to him. Servile fear makes the soul fly from God. Sacred love makes it fly to him. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.